This episode is brought to you in part by Play31.net. Play31.net offers single tables, speed sit-and-go tournaments, and regularly scheduled multi-table freeze-out tournaments with hundreds of players. Make sure to use code 1212 when registering. That's Play31.net.
Put the trophies up, it's another episode. I told you long time ago, we about to explode. It's something mean, it's supposed to be believe. But I told that beast I'm awesome and I down it be amazing. But enough about me, cause we all played the part to make it this far. But honestly, when it wasn't for the fans, it would have been a long time ago. Bio, born on SG, grew up on CDP. Baby mood, I didn't got her on, we call it PG. Rated M, I don't blame much for the violence in your household. Be home.
Trophy whore.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Trophy Horse. This is episode 254. I am this week's host, I Yield to No One. Joining me on this glorious PAX occasion, if you will, the mayor of Babelville, Donnie.
What up, dope people? I think I'll most likely...
Oh, man, that was... And there's the mayor of Sickville.
I have no intro after that. But I'm shooting for that president of Babelville.
Mayor's not good enough. You got to be president. I mean, come on.
I have to for all all the talk I get from all my babble, I have to shoot for the president.
The president? All right. Also joining us this week is Alex.
You know, I was so ready to go on that countdown, I almost started on 4. Of course, I will admit that I missed the first cue, and I was playing Rocket League, so it got to 2, and I was like, oh shit, I gotta count, I gotta talk up. So I was like, no, stop. Let's restart.
So are you playing the Hoops DLC?
I'm not, actually. I haven't downloaded it yet. Do you got to pay for it?
No, I thought it was a free.
Well, I have not downloaded it.
Okay.
There's a new update that I just downloaded, but I don't know if that was part of it.
Okay, I saw something on Twitter today that apparently the Hoops update is going live today, but it depends on when your region, you know, updates. So,
well, I mean, aren't we first region?
I thought we would be since we're, you know, East Coast, but...
Yeah, no, I mean, Hoops DLC, that sounds sexy. Like a brownie covered in peanut butter with chocolate chips on the top.
That's some good stuff.
Hoops is now available.
See, I told you. Why doubt me?
I'll wait until the intro. Sorry.
Wait until your intro.
Tricky wanted to be introduced last, but he has since inserted himself twice into the show early on.
I'm sorry, my hosting, like, gene is coming out.
It's taking over. You want to host?
No.
Okay. And finally join us, the bringer of the PAX plague, Tricky.
Yeah, I don't get sick, and I woke up this morning. Actually,
that's funny because you sure as shit sound sick.
I'm about to say I don't get sick, but I'm sick.
I woke up. Well,
I don't get sick, but when I do it well.
I'm with you, man. I'm like that too.
Okay. Normally, I don't get sick. Like, it's very rare, but I think I come down with the PAX plague. And
you need your mistake was tongue kissing all those dirty nerds.
See, no. That's what happens when you go to all them late-night PAX parties.
I didn't go to one PAX party. Actually, no, I take that back. I went to Billy's house. Billy's house was a party. I woke up about a half an hour ago, and just my body's rattled. I'm coughing. Hopefully, you know... Yeah, I can edit it out of the show, but... When Donnie was introduced, I kind of, like, coughed up a lung.
What your problem probably is, too, or it didn't help, it's a contributing factor, is you probably didn't get a lot of sleep at PAX.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay, well, that's going to weaken your immune system.
Yes. All right, but going back to the Rocket League thing, you guys know that you can check to see what was added to the game. If you scroll over to the game and hit the options button, you can go to update history, and it will tell you what's in that version.
Oh, I'm aware.
And in version 1.17, they added NBA flag DLC, NBA logo flags, Players can now autosave replays mid-game. Players can now rename and rename replays. Hoops playlist is now available in casual playlists, private matches, and exhibition. A new Cosmic Arena has been added to the Rocket Labs playlist, and it's multiple bug fixes.
Well, that was a lot. That was a good update.
Yes.
But we can't play Hoops yet.
And that news was brought to you in part by ProvenGamer.com, not PAX News.
Can I go back to hosting now?
Absolutely. Just okay. Just know that, listeners, I'm not going to be talking much, but...
Everyone's dreams have come true.
He says that now, but as we get into the show notes and we get talking, he'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa!
But just know, I'm going to steal a line from Yield. At the end of the show, I'm bringing the awesome.
Yes, he is. I was going to bring it, but Tricky had to be on the show and steal my thunder.
I can go back to bed, trust me.
Nope. You know, you're hosting.
I mean, technically it is your surprise, but I was going to bring the awesome for it. But anyway, have you, Tricky, have you, did you actually finally update your trophies, or did your trophies finally stink from the last time we talked?
I will do that currently right now. I don't even know what it is on the, what is it on the page?
It's 72-53. Yeah.
All right, hold on.
So I will go to Donnie for his updated trophy count.
I am level 28. Y'all said it last time, but I think I went up a level. I'm not sure. But trophy count is 6106. Negative 100 on something on that. Flat is 82. Negative 1, but added 1.
Oh, yeah? What'd you add?
Ratchet and Clank, the reboot of the remastered version. And yes, it does make sense once you play the game, the reboot of the remastered version. If you play the game, and it's telling itself when you get to the second planet.
Oh, here we go.
So,
gotcha. Alex?
All right, so I'm in the middle of an online game of Rocket League, so I'm sorry to my teammates. Level 27,
are you
total
winning?
Trophies. We are not winning right now, so it really doesn't matter. Total trophies is 5,548, and I have 78 platinums in 77 games. I have one new platinum. I got Until Dawn this past week. Actually, I got Until Dawn Sunday night, I think.
Woohoo!
When you should have been recording with us.
Well, yeah, things happen, so...
Yes. Oh, my Ratchet and Clank plat was the week after the exact week after.
Nobody cares about you,
Donnie.
Oh,
yeah, who cares about it? Because you the one to be crying about it.
Nobody cares about you.
Since the game came out, you've been crying about my findings of the game.
Nobody cares, Donnie.
I care about it, Donnie.
I care about Ratchet and Clank.
No, nobody cares about Donnie's what I said.
So, evidently, a lot of people care about me for what you said about Pat. Somebody asked for me by name. Wow!
Because she wanted to send a bunch of ninjas to you. She wanted to send her team of ninjas after you.
It don't make a difference. They asked for me by name, company person.
I do have something to complain though about the whole PAX thing. Anybody who was watching or following Proven Gamer Tricky's escapades on his on the Proven Gamer Facebook page, he was posting little live videos. Did Alex or Donnie? Did any of you watch those?
Nope.
No.
Here it comes.
Oh, yeah, here it comes.
I know exactly what he's about to say.
Oh, yes, you do, because I made a comment in one of the videos. Every time Tricky made a video, he was always talking about the Remember the Loot Crew, specifically calling them out. Hey, guys, look, I'm doing this. Hey, guys, look, I'm doing that. Not once did he mention any of us.
And you know why?
Because he's got a hard-on for Daryl.
No,
yes.
Because the Remember the Loot guys would actually pop into the videos and leave comments. That's why I was calling them out. You guys, I'll be on the PAX floor, and then, 6 hours later, I'll get a message from you. Yo, Tricky, you should go check out this booth. I'm like, I'm not on the floor.
Yeah, you want to know why?
I was why? At work.
So were they.
Well, I don't have a smartphone to check my, I'm not allowed to check my stuff when I'm at work.
Well, hey, nobody wants to hear you cry your tears in a barrel, so.
What so. Barrel? Who has a barrel? This isn't Donkey Kong.
Big red barrel.
Wrong website.
Yeah, but I ran into Jackson Frawls there.
You knew my situation, and I didn't know nothing about no live streaming anyway.
You don't know nothing about social media, Donnie.
So, tricky.
You know what? I'm going to go live right now. Go ahead.
What's your update trophy count?
I am level 30, total trophies of 7,257 and 62 plats.
So see, you did gain a few trophies. And yes, I am a level 22, trophy count of 4,075 and a platinum count of 56.
All right, can we pause the show for like 2 seconds?
Okay, 1,001, 1,002.
Hold on.
Are you going live to Facebook?
Hey guys, I am now live on Facebook. This is Tricky Mick. Right there is Alex, Yield, and Donnie. I am recording show viewers, as I promised, but Yield is currently on the show bitching and moaning about how I didn't give them any shout-outs, so I just mentioned all their names. And special shout-out to you, I Yield to No One. Good seeing you there, buddy. Talk to you later.
There.
All right, that's going in the show.
So some of the world is now aligned. So what have you been playing, Tricky, besides a whole lot of nothing at PAX?
Oh, you want to know everything I played at PAX or what I actually played at home?
Well, you could do both since you've did both since we last recorded.
I have played some PlayStation VR. That is really, 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 really good.
And we really, 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 really don't care about VR.
Oh, let me put it this way. Going to PAX, I told the goddess about PlayStation VR. And she's like, we really don't need it, and all this other stuff. And then that girl jumps in line and got the demo done before I did.
Whatever.
She came out of it, and she was like, we are buying this. I said, are you aware how much it cost?
I would also like to point out that
She said she didn't care.
I would like to point out that you are one of those people who needs the new technology as soon as it comes out.
You know what it is? I when it came to the VR, like, I'm excited about it, don't get me wrong. And yes, you're probably right in the fact that I most likely would have bought it anyway. But I buy, when I get the new technology, I don't do it just because Tricky needs a new technology. I buy it because there's got to be somebody on the website that can accurately report about it. But with that being said, the guy just goes into the demo, comes out, and goes, we're buying this. I said, are you aware how much this costs? She goes, no. I told her, it's about $400. She's like, I don't care. So I guess we're
going
to be...
She means is you're going to be buying it.
Oh, of course. Because I'm her sugar daddy.
You keep buying pop figures and VR systems.
I haven't bought a pop figure in 3 months.
Hey, I just bought a pop figure.
Oh, damn it, it starts again.
I know, I know. I went down a path for which there is no return. I bought the Nathan Drake pop.
You buy one, you got a... Is there an Elena one and a Sully one?
I didn't see one, but if there is, I will probably buy those as well.
See, here's the problem. Now you got to get the Elena and the Sully one.
Oh, no, I did see a Handsome Jack and a Psycho, and I'm like, ooh, I may have to get those.
And that's how it starts, Yield. Get out now. But I played the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutants in Manhattan. That is really good.
Does it remind you of Turtles in Time?
Yes and no.
Okay, how so? Like, it's not side-scrolling, is it?
No, it's not side-scrolling. It is 3D. It's four-player co-op. It's one of those things I'm going to say, like, either you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. There's not going to be a middle ground with it. It's you're either going to adapt really quickly to it and really like it, or it's just not going to, it's not going to be your cup of tea.
Well, what's the gameplay like? Like, is it just a beat 'em up?
Yeah, it's kind of like Marvel Alliance. Remember Marvel Alliance? It's top down, four players.
Yes, I remember Marvel Alliance.
Yeah, that's what it's like. And, they zoom in sometimes, they zoom out. And now, this is all the PAX demo.
Do they
shake it all
about?
Yes, they do.
Okay.
So, this was the PAX demo, so I don't know if this is, like, officially going to be in the game. And I say that only because of the fact that I also played Hitman. And the level I was playing at PAX was made and designed solely for PAX. It wasn't, it's not in the actual game because they didn't want to spoil stuff in Hitman in the actual game.
Yeah, but what if that level was really, really good?
Oh, it's going to be DLC. It's going to be labeled PAX DLC.
I also cross over to the dark side and play some Gears of War.
I hear that demo was very gory.
Yes, it was. Oh, yes, it was.
The series itself is gory.
Yeah, it overall, I had a good time. Ran into a bunch of friends. Ran into Jax. I ran into Frolls. Ran into Donnie's homeboy, Hip Hop Gamer. Of course, ran into Billy from Limit Break. A lot of people spent a lot of time in the Stack Up booth with Shanghai 6 and everybody there. Got yelled at by Shanghai 6 because they were doing a push-up contest in their booth. And the record at the time for the day was 96. And this guy came in day after day after day trying to break the record.
But 96 straight?
96 push-ups in a minute.
So straight. Yeah.
Okay, were these real push-ups that we like go down like a centimeter, come back up?
Okay, some people they were giving credit to, they weren't real push-ups. The guy that I'm about to talk to was doing legit push-ups. He was coming in and he's like, "I'm so hyped and whatnot." He goes, "I'm gonna break the record." I said, "Okay, well, what's your high so far?" He goes, 43. I said, "So you think you're gonna double it?" He goes, yeah.
But he's doing real push-ups. Like, if you do 90 push-ups in a minute, you're not doing real push-ups.
No. Well, hold on. Let me finish the story. So he goes, like, I just don't have the proper motivation. I said, the prize is the motivation. No, he goes, no. I need somebody, like a personal trainer. I said, listen, I'll yell at you if you want me to. He goes, can you be my drill sergeant? I was like, okay. So this guy gets into the push-ups and push-up position. He goes, just keep yelling at me. So now we're in the front of PAX. Now, Yield and Donnie, you remember the area?
Yeah.
Like as soon as you walk in,
the area before the escalator center.
Right. So we're in that area, and this guy, the minute starts, and I start screaming at this guy, "Don't give up on me, soldier! You keep pushing. Get those legs straight." I'm going off on this guy, right? Everybody around us is stopping and staring at us. This guy is pushing for every bit he's got. And when you started getting weak, I said, "Don't let them knees drop, soldier. You drop, you're going to give me 50 more." I'm going off on this guy. I mean, everybody's staring at us. Shanghai, who was on the other side of the convention hall, heard me yelling and came running. Because he didn't know that this guy asked me to yell at him. So Shay guy's right up and like, "Yo, Tricky, you can't be yelling at him like this." I was like, "This guy asked me to." Lo and hold to say, by the time we got done, this guy had done 92 push-ups in the minute. He was one short of the record.
Oh.
But he got up and said, "Yeah, I asked him to do it." So me yelling at this guy made him almost more than double his push-ups.
He wanted to get it over with so you would stop annoying him.
I was brutal on him. But, yeah, overall, good show. Lots of good things. I wish you guys were there. Next year, I think the plan is, and this is going to spark some guffing from Yield. Next year, the plan is I'm going to bring the loot guys with us.
Oh, jeez.
They wanted to go this year, but they were, being new to the site, and they just couldn't convince their wives fast enough to allow them to spend that kind of money to go to Boston. So now they have a full year to convince their wives. So, they were really upset. Daryl was kept sending me messages like, "Go to the Capcom booth, go check out Resident Evil." I'm like, "Nobody cares about Resident Evil besides you, Daryl."
I mean, if we're talking about Resident Evil 5, then I care. I'm wondering, when you were yelling at that guy, Tricky, were you imagining Donnie was the guy doing push-ups?
Absolutely. Oh, my. And the guy looked like Donnie, too.
Sure, Donnie's got a twin?
Oh, no. You know, okay.
It's Dante.
He didn't look, He didn't look like Donnie, but he had like the same body style, talked the same way. Like, don't honestly.
Sure, it,
all right, next time you talk to the goddess, ask the goddess.
Sure, I'm gonna believe what she says. She also has a vendetta.
Yummy.
Every time you do that, man, I just think about the Mask, the movie Mask, when he's in the club and he gets shot. Every time.
Oh, Donnie, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Metal Gear, and that's pretty much it. I haven't really been playing anything. Since then, Metal Gear. I'm one trophy away, like always, but I'm on one key dispatch mission away, which I already sit for 3 hours, letting it do nothing, failed. So I got to do it again for another 3 hours to sit there. Hopefully they don't fail me this time and I should get the plaque. Also been playing some DMC because I have nothing to play until Uncharted comes out in about two weeks.
Donnie, that DMC is a great game.
I like it.
It's great.
Yeah. No, I will not. It's not great, but
yes, it is.
I have my faults with it, and I said it before. I didn't say that the game wasn't bad when it came out. I just said it. I hope it wasn't bad. A crap ton of fans didn't agree with his appearance, which.
Well, that's the only. Is that the only reason, Donnie? The game is solid itself. The gameplay is solid. So is the only reason the fact that it doesn't look like Dante you want it to look like?
No, it's that and the original story has been altered, and I don't like where they took the original story. But the actual gameplay of the game itself is, for a Devil May Cry game, flawless. It outdoes the previous Metal Gear. Outdoes the previous Devil May Cry games when it comes to gameplay. It demolished the previous games, but the altered storyline and the look, that brings it down. Like,
yeah, but I mean, like, why? I don't know. Why are people so upset about his look? I mean,
okay, to be honest,
Dante always kind of looked like a punk.
Okay, let me just say this because I know Trudy go crap on me. I was right about that game also. But he looks like a fiend, a crack meth fiend for one.
And I mean, he's the offspring of an angel and a demon. Like, it's not like he's gonna be like wearing
Virgil
a.
Virgil doesn't look like that.
Well, no, Virgil looks dumb.
But he doesn't look like a fiend. Some drug addict.
I never got that from the appearance of Dante. I wasn't like, man, this guy looks like a drug addict.
Well, you also don't know too much about the original Devil May Cry. That was your first Devil May Cry game you played, also.
He looks super emo, but I mean, like, again, if you're the offspring of two opposing forces, you're probably going to be kind of emo.
Well, like, the look, I really prefer the old look. Which me being right about that game before the game came out, I don't know, it was a long time on these episodes, I said, watch it be something traumatic that turns him, that gives him his white hair, because Virgil was born with white hair, so I guess they kind of making it seem like that is like the original hair or genetic code that you're supposed to have, but something traumatic happened to him that gives him his white hair, which I also stated that was going to be probably what's going to happen before the game came out. And I was right.
Was it ever, like, did they ever explain how he got his white hair in the first game? Because wasn't he just...
No, he was born with his white hair in the original storyline. He always had white hair in the original storyline. In this storyline, I got to play through it again, which I'm... I got to play through it again, which I'm doing now. I forget what happens that gives him... That start turning his hair white, but... Like I said, I kind of like foresaw it. Like, I bet you something traumatic happens that gives him his white hair, and I was right. The storyline was altered. Like, his mom was that's pretty cool though. Besides his mom being an angel in the remake, in the reboot. She was a human. So besides that and the other alternate storyline that they did, it was gone. I didn't care for the storyline too much.
All right,
but
I mean,
game, like I said, the game itself is a good game. It's not a bad game at all. It is a good game overall. I just don't give it a perfect 10, and I don't give it a 9 because of those two aspects.
But I mean, like, if you hadn't played the original Devil May Cry, if this game was just taken on its own, which it's a reboot, which it should be, like, how do you feel about it?
I give it a 9. I give it a 9, but the thing about it is you can't not dismiss that aspect of it being a reboot because it's already been here, so you have to include that.
But I mean, if it's a reboot, it's not trying to remake the first game. It's trying to take something from that universe and maybe some elements of that universe and create something new, like a different version of it.
You're right about that. Yeah, that's what a reboot's supposed to do, but you still can't dismiss what's already been done. Like I said, I despise reboots anyway. I just think they should just leave the games where they are and come out with a new IP.
Except for the Ratchet and Clank, because you love the Ratchet and Clank.
No, I said the same thing about Ratchet and Clank. Leave it where it is.
Hold on, time out. Do you not like the new Ratchet and Clank game?
No, I love it. Like I said,
you called it a reboot.
I called it a reboot, and the game itself called it a reboot. But it like I said, I think it was 2 episodes ago, I said I want to give my shout-outs to Insomniac because they're the most clever game developer company there is to this day. And I just didn't see it then, but years back, they are so clever with the things they put in the Ratchet & Clank games. Now, this one right here, this reboot or movie version of a reboot, they were so clever to intertwine the whole entire series with this game, and that was good. I like how they did that. It doesn't cause conflict. They just was able to reference the whole entire Ratchet & Clank series within this one game. That was so clever.
All I want to know is the Rhino is amazing.
The Rhino is. It's what the original in the first one was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's easier to obtain, I guess.
Well, you don't have to find a bunch of plans for it. I guess you just got to buy it.
You do, but you don't have to buy it though. You have to find what they call holo cards. They have holo cards now in this game, which the game will explain that more. It's pretty cool how they intertwine the whole Ratchet & Clank universe with those holo cards. But you find all those, and you take them back to the, you know, the merchant guy.
The smuggler. That's one of my favorite Ratchet and Clank characters, the smuggler and his little bird.
Well, Mr. Zircon is mine.
Yeah, Mr. Zircon Jr. is mine.
The Zircon family?
I the Zircon family in a whole.
I don't need candy.
It deserves to be stated that... If you're new to the Ratchet series, and we would all suggest that you go play Ratchet and Clank, Rhino is an acronym for "Rip You a New One," just in case you don't know.
I believe there's only 2 new guns in this game. All the rest of them are guns from Ratchet and Clank 1, 2, 3, Kraken Time, stuff like that.
Daddy, I got to cut you off real quick because we've talked about reboots and remasters and all that stuff. And I made it a point when I was talking to developers this weekend to ask the questions like, "What is the motivation for making a remastered or a remake?" And I also asked them about Blue Point Studios, who their studios solely are right now their forte is remastering games. Speaking to several sources, they confirmed to me, and I wish I had audio to prove this. That I was kind of right in what my thinking of the remasters was, is that, like, in the case of Naughty Dog, they ported over The Last of Us for the PS3 to PS4 for 2 reasons. One, for everybody that made that jump from Xbox 360 to PlayStation 4 to give them a chance to play it. And also, they said that the main reason they ported it over was... they wanted to make sure that they could get The Last of Us running on the PlayStation 4, and then they knew how to make that work. So when going to make Uncharted 4, that they already had a foot in the door and they knew what they were doing. They said porting The Last of Us over to and remastering it opened up so many doors and made the process for making Uncharted 4 so much easier, because they already had a foot in the door and they knew what they were doing. So when it comes to remasters and reboots and all that, well, not a reboot, because reboots are totally done. All that is done for that reason.
Okay, I'm assuming that they didn't start building Uncharted 4 until after they finished the remaster of Last of Us. And I'm pretty sure Uncharted 4 was already been in the making before they thought about this.
No. I asked them about the process, you know, in depth, and I do have an audio interview about this that will be going out. They were talking about, they start, like, before they actually start making the game, you know, they do all the concept drawings, they start, you know, coming up with a storyboard and all this other stuff. And while they were in that process of, you know, getting the drawings together, the storyboard together, that was the process they started porting things over. And they made a point to do Last of Us on their own to so they can get a hand in the door. And the Nathan Drake collection was done by Bluepoint, which they ported that over because at that point they already knew. They had always planned on making the Nathan Drake collection and The Last of Us and porting both of those over. But once they knew that what they did with The Last of Us worked, they gave Bluepoint the Nathan Drake collection.
Bluepoint also did PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale.
Right. So that's what it is. So that's the reason why you're getting remasters and reports, is because these developers are taking an established game that they know already works, and it's less work for them to port it over. But in the process of doing that less work to port it over, they're learning how to port it over, so when they go develop a PlayStation 4 game, they know where to start, and they're not starting from ground zero. They're starting from, you know, a learning point already.
I think that's a bad choice of words, learning how to port it over. Don't learn how to port it over, just learn how to make new IPs.
Well, in, you,
bad okay. choice of words. I don't want you to learn how to port. That's some bull crap.
No, they learn how to develop on the PlayStation 4 by porting it over.
I hear you. That's better choice of words. I said a bad choice of words. I understood what you were trying to say. I just said a bad choice of words.
But you don't want new IPs.
I want brand new games. Yes, I do.
but you also want sequel to games too, though.
If the game deserves a sequel, yes.
If they deserve a sequel, and by that time the sequel comes out, I'm quite sure you will learn the ins and outs of the system. So, well, whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm going back into my hole.
Well, we're going to try to move this show along. We've been like a half hour and haven't really gotten anywhere.
Exactly.
Alex, besides Rocket League, what else have you been playing?
All right, well, yeah, I'm currently playing some Rocket League, and I just was in a match with someone named Gray Fox. I thought Tricky and Donnie would appreciate that. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, I finished Until Dawn completely. I got the Platinum. I did, ended up having to do, I think, I'd say about 2.5 playthroughs to get everything. And, yeah, I still really like that game.
So how did you do that? Did you use a guide from the beginning, or did you play the first time through just to enjoy the game?
My first time through was just to enjoy the game. I had the game for the Trophy War, but I didn't want to play it for the Trophy War because I didn't want to have to rush through it. I wanted to enjoy it and take my time and just kind of play the first and not have a TU's guide my first time through. I just wanted to play the game itself. So the first time I played the way I wanted to. I ended up with only two people dying, so six people were alive at the end. And
that's how I ended my first playthrough with two people.
Yep.
Oh, you said two people dying. I ended my reverse of that. My bad.
Donnie over here is Jason Voorhees himself. He's just hacking people up. Good lord. No, when I did that game the first time through, I just thought, okay, what are the survival horror tropes? Like, what are the tropes from all like the 80s, 90s horror movies, and what can I do to avoid those? You know, stay with a group, don't follow funny noises, just try to. Yeah. No, I thought that way throughout the entire game. Because, like I said, my goal, I wanted to save everybody. I didn't want anyone to, even though I didn't like certain characters very much, I definitely wanted to have everyone living at the end. There is a trophy tied to that. I had to go back and play through most of the game to get it. But after my first playthrough, I went back and mopped up any collectibles that I needed and just went and played through. You can play through chapter 6 until 10 and just kill off everybody and get a trophy that way. And then I had to play from, I think, chapter 3 to 10 to save everybody, plus get some collectibles that I had kind of locked myself out of. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't really take that long. It's 10 chapters, and, you know, once you play the game, you can kind of burn through it because you kind of know what to do and you know the story, so.
But in this one vital survival instinct or technique, well, instinct that you should always
Don't be promiscuous?
No. Don't look behind you. Because
if
the killer always jumps after you. The killer just stand there until you notice him, though. And then when you notice him, that's when you get attacked. So don't look behind you. Act like you have something to do. Walk, get a little bit of distance, and then just book up.
Yeah.
Alex, maybe you can answer a question that I've yet to been able to answer about that game yet.
What's that?
You have to forgive me on the name because I forget the name right now. But the girl that's takes the bath, gets out of the hot tub and the towel, and then she gets chased by the psycho.
Sam, who is played by Hayden Panettiere.
How does that towel stay on?
That's my question. That entire scene, how the hell did that towel stay on?
I guess
because it's an 80s movie.
Maybe because they wanted to keep they wanted to keep the rating down, and the actress and Hayden Panettiere probably was like, this, yeah, I'm not doing this. Make sure that towel stays on. I mean, it's not logical, but at the same time, yeah, I really hope
in the movies it's logical.
I saw that when they were hype training this game, and that was the first question I had after I saw that reveal trailer was, okay, that's really cool, but how does that towel stay on? Because there's no way you're running that much and that towel doesn't fall off. So anyway,
I feel like it's very hard to go through and actually save everybody. Like, I see one point specifically where I could have saved somebody specific. I don't want to spoil it, but basically I didn't want to do a whole lot of exploration in a certain area because I'm like, okay, well, if I go too far, what if something jumps out at me or something? But I mean, like, other times, like, you can think you're making the best possible decision and you're keeping characters safe, and you may not be. So I think it'd be really hard to go through that game your first time through without knowing the background. Like, actually, some of the decisions you need to make, I think it'd be very hard to save everyone because, I don't know.
Yeah, and I want to make note to this, too, that listening to Remember the Loot guys, they made something that other games need to jump on, and specifically Telltale. In this game where you, what is this, Until Dawn? It's a game where you make decisions, one of those type of games.
Yeah, well, there's a butterfly effect where decisions you make change the course of the game.
Yeah, but I thought that's what I'm about to say. The difference between Until Dawn and other games that let you make decisions, in particular Telltale games, is that the decisions you make in this, they actually make a difference within the storyline and the progression of the game.
Well, yeah, because
play Tales from the Borderlands?
Did I play who?
Did you play Tales from the Borderlands?
No, I didn't.
Okay, that game really gives you a better sense of your decisions carry weight.
Well, that's a sign that they're finally getting on the bandwagon of making your decisions matter.
I need to go back through and play it again to really find out if it does, but that game really makes you, at certain points of the game, sit there and go, you know, if I had to make this choice, would I be right here?
You know, honestly, like, I feel like I kind of agree with Donnie on this, because I feel like the Telltale games, especially The Walking Dead, it leads you to a certain point, and no matter what you're being told a story, you don't really have a choice. I mean, you get to make choices throughout the game here and there, but in the end, the people who are going to die still die. You're not going to make a big impact on... It's all leading to one point, essentially. And I kind of feel like that's the way all Telltale games are. I don't know, maybe The Wolf Among Us is different. I haven't played it like a whole like multiple times. I've only played it once.
Different.
Okay, well, I've only played it once, so I don't know how far it branches off. But I mean, Telltale, they kind of give you this air, like this veil of your decisions matter. But in the end, they don't, because they're just trying to tell you a story. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe Telltale can learn something from that. But at the same time, like, they've gotten a lot of credit for The Walking Dead. And,
Yes, we get that they're focusing more, like, way more on the storytelling aspect of their games, Telltale. But at the same time, if you're going to give us the opportunity to make a decision, then let the decision matter. Don't just do it and hurt our feelings just to be hurting our feelings because we think that we're hurting somebody in the game.
Yeah,
hence.
No, I think. Yeah, I know. I agree with Donnie there. I think. Well, it's two different types of. It kind of shows you, like, you think that adventure games are kind of point-and-click games. They have this single style they have to stick to, and this shows it doesn't. I never thought of Until Dawn as an adventure game, but, I mean, it kind of is. It gives you a little bit more freedom than any of Telltale's games, but, I mean, it shows the range that can be to a kind of adventure game genre where you make decisions and you're kind of led along the path, but, you know, you can either... You can either be led to it one decision, or you can kind of branch out and make and have one of many things happen to you. I don't know. It just kind of shows some kind of variety, I guess I would say, to the genre. And I feel like Until Dawn, you know, with Walking Dead being so like popular on television and comics and stuff, I feel like it's kind of okay for that to be sort of just, hey, you're being told a story, don't worry about it. But Until Dawn, like, part of the big appeal of that game is that you get to choose who your decisions affect who lives and who dies. And I don't think it's not an established property, so I think that's a big part of the what makes it so great. Whereas The Walking Dead, you're all in every Walking Dead, every version, you're being told a story and people are gonna die. And I feel like the game follows that. It's not about freedom of choice. It's about this is going to happen. Just prepare yourselves, and you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm sure.
I feel like it's going to die.
It's more the Walking Dead as a whole is more about storytelling than it is about freedom of choice. It's about just everything being oppressive and bleak and sad, and you know, it's kind of like just this is the way it is. Because if I had my way, Tyrese would not have died in the Walking Dead TV show.
Ooh. Well, no,
and that wasn't this season or last season.
You know what? That's not getting to that. Maestro, take control.
Okay. So, I've only been playing Sly Cooper Thieves in Time. Going back through.
Are you still on this?
Well, yeah. I went back through. I think I got like two more missions to do before I'm at the chapter 5 boss. So I went back and went and got all the treasures, unlocked the arcade cabinet, got the high score in the arcade cabinet, and found all the masks, and just been moving my way back up to chapter 5. So that way, like, one of my last trophies will be basically beating the game, so that way I don't have to go back and feel like I got to buzz through it at that point after I've already beat the game. So I'm getting close to that platinum, and that's really all that I've been playing.
Oh, I did want to say I may have mentioned this before. I did just buy Ratchet and Clank, so I will be playing that soon as it downloads and installs.
I love it. I will be playing that one last because I started playing Tools of Destruction during the war, and 5 minutes into it, realized that there were no trophies tied to it. So I was
"Not let that stop you."
Well, no, I'm going to play it, but it was during the war, so it was like, well, there's no sense in playing this right now. Pulled it out of the system, put it on the shelf. We'll get back to that game because I've played 1, 2, and 3. Now I'm going to work my way through the future series, and then I'll go back and play the reboot of the reboot.
Oh, well, here's, wait till after you finish the series.
Here's one thing I want to ask Donnie. Is Ratchet and Clank the new one? Is it a better game?
Oh, more
Is definitely. It better? Is it a better game than A Crack in Time? Because I have held that to
Crack in Time. No, for okay. I'm not going to say. It's way better than, I'll put it like this. No, it's not. It was not. And I say that only because, primarily because it's the story that's been told already. A Crack in Time is a continuation of the series, which is right, but also, you know, Into the Nexus is comes right after A Crack in Time. And I feel that Into the Nexus can still lead us into more Ratchet and Clank future series, because the story can still be told as we go on. I would say that this new one is, of course, without a doubt, you can't even like think that it won't be. It plays a whole lot better than the original, and that's like, of course. And when the beginning, because when I thought it was in the beginning, I thought something different. I like, oh, I see where they was going. If you read my my tweet post or my Facebook post, I said, oh, I'm playing Ratchet and Clank, the new one. I see where they're going with this. But then I got to the second level and I stated, I was freaking right this whole time.
He loves to hear himself say that.
That's right. It's because Tricky's here. If I wouldn't say it so much if Tricky wasn't here. But
half the time, Donnie's extremely wrong.
Yes,
and he says something generic. He goes, "Yeah, I was right." And meanwhile, it's not what he's saying.
Dude,
you want to know what else isn't wrong?
Don't segue. Don't segue. I gotta finish this. Alice, yes, it's great. You're going to recognize right off rip the difference between this one and the original first one. If you pay attention and you're a true fan, you will most definitely recognize the difference between the two. Not because of graphics, but the way the story has been told and different things in the game. You're going to love it. You most definitely going to love it.
I'm playing it right now.
Mm-hmm. You're not allowed to play it.
I'm not hosting, so yeah, I can.
So
whatever.
Can I have control of the show?
You're the host.
Do we ever have control of this show?
No, it's a train wreck that no one can look away from. So, Tricky, I'm sure, got a lot of chance to mess around with this next topic, but it's been reported that Uncharted 4's Plunder is supposed to be slightly different than 3 and 4. They're saying you're going to get three maps. You're going to get an island, Madagascar City, and rooftops. And according to Robert Cogburn and a PlayStation blog post, that shortly after PAX, which is any time in the next 2 weeks before Uncharted launches, they will be announcing some more news on the multiplayer that will please a lot of people. So, Tricky, did you have fun with that?
I had lots of fun with it. As I said on our now lost episode, Uncharted 4's multiplayer has gotten me interested in playing multiplayer again. And you guys know how I feel about multiplayer. So that should tell you right there.
And I think I might be able to play this multiplayer, because all I could ever do with the Uncharted multiplayers, because of my internet speed, was play the co-op, because there wasn't as many people on the screen. I believe this one, they're saying, what, it's a little bit smaller? It's 4-on-4?
Yeah, I don't know if 4-on-4 is the only version that they're doing, but yes, what I played was 4-on-4, looked very seamless, and it seems like, because I was talking to them about the server issues, and they were saying that, you know, the PlayStation 4 servers are notoriously not as good as the Xbox servers.
Well, we all know that.
But the way this is actually going to work, if I understood him correctly, was that they're going to use the servers to connect you guys. And then once you connect, your PlayStation 4s will actually go peer-to-peer. So you'll have a direct connection to the PlayStation 4, taking less time off of the server itself. But you always have a backwards connection to the server. So if the host of the game falls out, it instantly goes right back to the server and then connects it to the next two strongest people.
So oh, okay. that means no dropout of the whole entire game. Like, you know, when you playing somebody, like, you the host.
Right.
All of us playing. And if something happens with your connection or you quit, that the game continues on.
It continues on like nothing ever happened.
What the heck? Why haven't these freaking gamers figured that out before then?
Well, I asked him, I said, you know, because I asked him about that. I said, if the host drops, you know, there's always that, like, momentary pause in the game where it goes connecting to new hosts.
I never get that. It just quits and starts
No, some games will do that. It'll, like, pause everything, and then it'll connect to a new host, and then it just kicks off where you guys were paused at.
And he said that the power of the PlayStation 4 has enabled them to do that. They've always wanted to do that, but the PS3 wasn't powerful enough to do that because all the resources that were taken. But the PlayStation 4 probably gave them a chance to do it, and that's why they're doing it.
Cool. Sweet.
Well, how come Konami hasn't figured that junk out yet? Because every time I quit...
Konami is the president of the Suckland.
Probably so, but yeah, every time I'm playing Metal Gear online, somebody the host quits or drops out, the whole entire thing boots everybody out. That is some BS. And then you don't get your points that you accumulated. Everything that you don't...
So apparently, Battleborn is some big news and got some really big outturn for their beta. It ran, for those who weren't involved in it, it ran April 8th on the PlayStation 4 and April 13th on the Xbox One and PC, and they all ended on April 18th. They had 2 million people participate in the beta in that. For PlayStation 4, that 10-day period, they had 1.1 million competitive matches, 1.4 million story mode episodes, and collected 27 billion shards. That's knuckin' butts.
People care that much about Battleborn?
I mean, I had heard about the game. I just didn't know that it had... I guess I should pay more attention. I was like, wow, that's a lot of people in 10 days.
Attention. You don't have to pay that much attention.
Tricky, did you play any of that at PAX?
I did not play Battleborn at all.
Okay. We'll move on to our next little pass-through topic. And apparently, at a PAX East press conference about Battleborn, Borderlands 3 was teased. Well, shouldn't say Borderlands 3. The next Borderlands game was teased because they actually said that they didn't know if it was going to be 3 or where it was going to fall in the timeline, but you could find Easter eggs about it in the Battleborn's DLC.
What they actually said was next Border...
Were you in the panel?
Yes.
Ah, okay. Well, then give us the lowdown.
What Randy...
The down low. Fine, Tony.
You was trying to be the hip old person again.
I am. I'm trying to be the hip old person.
What Randy Pitchford actually said was he confirmed that the next Borderlands game is in development. Whether or not that's Borderlands 3, he's not saying. But the next Borderlands game is in development right now. Now, as you have alluded to, that's not saying where the timeline is going to be, if it's going to be a continuation, if it's going to be the pre-sequel again.
Well, this would be, would it be the, see, we had the pre-sequel, would it be the sequel?
Well, you know how Randy Pitchford is, so they can name it anything. But a lot of people are treating it like Borderlands 3.
It would sort of make sense being on, you know, another console that you would go with 3, but you never know. I mean, but I like that. A sequel. Let's go with that.
Borderlands 3 Unbored.
Oh, Donnie. You just don't like good games. You're the Tricky of Borderlands.
Oh, more like that. The anti-Tricky.
Yield?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself.
Hey, don't hate me because I'm willing to pay $5 for a good game.
I'm willing to pay $5 for a good game.
Or $60, however, because I forget. We ran around that tree so much, I forget how the saying goes now.
Yeah, you guys have convoluted my words so much that you don't even know what the real story is anymore.
No. No, we
don't really care either, but we understand where we originated from.
So, who's excited about Mafia 3?
Well, I'm excited. I'm curious. I am curious. I'll put it like that. I'm not excited, but I'm curious.
Really? Because I played Mafia 2 and loved the story, loved the time setting, the soundtrack, your radio, you know, so to speak, was very in tune to the times. And they're bringing that back in Mafia 3. But they're also, the main complaint I had with Mafia 2 was, for it being an open world game, it really felt like it was driving you mission to mission to mission to mission, and you really didn't have that time of, there was some side missions that you could do, but there really wasn't a time of, here you go, just go mess around and you can go pick up the next side mission. You really felt that you were story driven. And they said that they have fixed that in Mafia 3, that they've, you know, really embraced the open world aspect of the game, that they've brought in some really brutal, you know, hand-to-hand combat combos and other things like that. So, I mean, what are you guys thinking about Mafia 3?
Oh, I think it's going to be something nice. Like, when I seen the trailer and some gameplay of Mafia 3, it had me intrigued to want to go back and play the other two. But I didn't have time at the time to play the other two, so I end up watching just all the cutscenes to get caught up with Mafia 3. Did it get postponed? Because I thought Mafia 3 was supposed to be out.
No, it's not supposed to be out for another 6 months.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the reason why. Something else, another reason why I just went to the cutscenes instead of playing the actual games. But yeah, I am intrigued, like heavily intrigued with Mafia 3 because I want to get my hands on it. Oh, I know what? I did play Mafia 2. I didn't care for that. I played Mafia 2. One or two, the sluggish controllers turned me off of it. And I thought it was just a complete ripoff of the Godfather games.
Godfather game was really good. I did play Godfather 2.
Yeah. 1 and 2 I played, and I really liked the Godfathers 1 and 2. And Mafia, I believe it was probably Mafia 1. It looked like a complete ripoff of Godfather. So that kind of turned me off. And then the sluggish controllers, I think, was like really unsettling for me. So I was like, you know what? Forget it. I already played it anyway because I beat Godfather. But Mafia 3 has got me intrigued with the Mafia.
And those who played Mafia 2 will have a familiar face where Vito?
I think that's his name.
Yeah. Not Vito. That might be his name. I'm butchering it.
V-I-T-O.
Yeah, I can't talk today.
Not the presidential Vito.
Yeah, he will be making a return in the game as one of Lincoln Clay's lieutenants. So...
Well, yeah, I guess I can't wait for the heavy hits. It looks like when you hit somebody in this game, you know how Last of Us made you really feel the hit? It seems like you're going to be feeling the hit when you are in this game, Mafia 3. You know, like Joel slammed him against the wall or hit him with a 2x4, the screen kind of shook a little bit.
Yeah.
If you pay attention very slightly, it zoomed in like real quick, like a shutter zoom real quick when he hit you real hard. Like it make you feel the hit, and I feel that I'm going to get that from Mafia 3.
So Tricky, do you want to take this next topic? This is more your thing.
Some other news coming out of PAX was. In the Harmonix panel, which was the panel for Rock Band Past, Present, and Future. I'm actually surprised you passed this topic, because this was some news that you really were waiting for.
It was, and I can't believe I missed it either. But go ahead. I'll let you. You were in the panel. You can spread the news.
Yeah, some things that they announced. I actually have to bring up my phone right now, because I actually forgot all of the details. I have the pictures. They were announcing the past games and what the process is in making the games and whatnot. And they revealed their roadmap for 2016 for Rock Band 4. In May, you're going to be able to get Battleborn characters in the game, which is, you know, that's nothing to me. Because, you know, we all use custom characters, so that wasn't really big news to me. They announced that they're going to institute a double kick mode into the game, which for, you know, drummers, you could have a double bass and whatnot. In the next thing, Donnie's going to say, this wasn't in at the start, and I have to agree with Donnie. They're going to put practice mode into the game.
This wasn't in at the start?
In the summer, they're going to take a pause from all the things. Because with Rock Band 4, they said Rock Band 4 is going to be the only Rock Band game on this generation of consoles. They're not going to make a Rock Band 5 unless, you know, they go to PlayStation 5. In the fall, there's going to be expansion pack with a whole bunch of new things coming in. So up until, you know, over the summer, they're going to pause with all their updates. There's going to be music library enhancements coming in the fall, in which the way you sort your games, you can be able to delete songs that you don't want to play, including songs that are on the disc that you don't want to play. You can permanently delete them.
Oh, wow. That's actually kind of interesting.
They are going to bring the Ion adapter for people that have the Ion drums, which I'm really excited about because now I can actually start playing the drums again on Rock Band 4. And the feature that we're all waiting for. Alex, you ready for this?
I am.
Coming this holiday, we're getting synchronous online multiplayer.
Yay!
Finally.
Finally! The Trophy Horse Band can restart back up! I call drums!
No, you ain't getting drums, buddy.
Oh, fine.
I called dibs on that back when Rock Band 4 was announced.
That's fine.
Hold on. Why would they take that away?
Well, they didn't take it away. They just didn't put it in. It wasn't part of the original Rock Band 4 game, and they never said they were never going to do it. It was just it wasn't high on the priority list. And since
I gotta stop you there.
Okay, stop me there.
During the panel, they explained that some of these things that are not in the game.
Yeah.
The reason why they were not in the game at the start. If you guys remember, Harmonix became an independent developer again.
Yeah,
they didn't have
MTV's money.
Right, they didn't have MTV's money. So to put out the game, at the start, they had to take out some features. And unfortunately, one of the biggest features that they had to take out was multiplayer, was practice mode, and stuff like that. But as the game's selling and as the DLC's selling and they're getting more money, they're working on putting all these features back in the game. What was confirmed to me by Harmonix is that multiplayer is actually on your Rock Band 4 disc.
Oh, so all they gotta do is flip a switch.
They have to flip the switch because they have to. They're tweaking it and they're getting it so it's one to one. Because right now, what they have established is that in a four player band, the difference between player 1 to player 4 is 8 seconds of lag.
Ooh, that's not good.
It's 2 seconds per person. So if me and you, Yield, were playing, it would be you were playing, and 2 seconds later, I'd be synced up with you there, but I'd be on 2 second delay. If Alex was joining the band, he would actually be 4 seconds behind you, 2 seconds behind me.
What's the point of doing that?
Well, that's why they didn't release it. They're tweaking it, and then they got to pay for the servers and all that other stuff. That's why they said it's there, but they didn't have the money to. And the funding to get all these features in right away.
I figured multiplayer would eventually make its way there. It was just a matter of that. It was a matter of getting the funding to do it, since it was just them and Mad Catz putting the game out.
So they said all the features that they're announcing now, they wanted to be on the original disc. And that's why they're treating Rock Band 4 like a, you know, constantly evolving game, because they want this game to go, but they don't have the funding to do it.
This is a smart way to do it anyway.
Yeah, I kind of like this. Yeah, you put out your base game.
Okay,
and,
but see,
and as long as the demand is there, then we will keep developing the game. We'll keep doing updates, making it cooler, making it better.
Okay, but I gotta call Donnie out right there, because Donnie, you just said this is a good way of doing it, but yet you're shitting on the fact that Hitman's doing it, releasing it as episodes, which is essentially what Rock Band is doing, because let me finish. No, it's not episodic, but the point is that Rock Band 4 came out as a base game, and they're adding on to it, and it's the same thing Hitman's doing that Telltale's doing. They release the base game, and then they release a chunk here,
which is essentially the same exact thing. Let me defend Donnie. I see what you're saying, and it's a valid point, but let me defend Donnie.
Okay.
Hitman's got Square Enix money, whereas Telltale and Harmonix do not.
Okay, but would you want... Okay, then let me counter that back with a question, and I'll take your
answer. Can Donnie
defend Donnie? You can defend Donnie in a second, but let me just ask a question, and I'll take your answer at face value. I'll believe whatever you say.
Okay.
Would you rather do, like, with Rock Band 4 or Hitman, would you rather them take the time, develop it, and release it as a whole package? Or would you rather say, here's a chunk now, play our game, and as we go, we'll make the game better and better and better?
Well,
would you prefer? Would you the whole package? Or take what we can give you now, and we'll give you more as we go on?
Knowing what I know now, I like the way Harmonix did it with Rock Band, because they came out and said, look, this is the only game you're going to need to buy. You pay your $60 or $120 if you bought all the instruments, whatever. And this is the only thing you're going to have to buy besides these songs if you want to pay for those. And we will keep giving you free updates. All right? In the sense of Hitman has always been a game. And it was a game up until a month or two before release. And then all of a sudden, hey, we're going to deliver it in episodes. And you have to buy each episode. That's going to get better, and we're going to keep refining it, or you can buy the whole lump sum. Doing it that way, I like the way Harmonix did it, because you're each iteration of Hitman, you're supposedly paying for a better version, looking better, running better. So if not enough people get it, does that mean you're going to stop?
But the difference between the Hitman and this Rock Band thing is that the Hitman is dividing up their big game. Rock Band is giving you the big game, except they just added on to it as later going on. Not episodes. This is, okay, you want to use that whole multiplayer as an episode thing? No, it's not an episode. It's a tweaked out version of a DLC, I guess you could say, but that's all it is. It's DLC that you want to constantly get from into the next generation of video games consoles come. DLC, I mean, right, Hitman? That's some bullcrap. Those are real games. Each episode is a game. You know, yes, they count it as an add-on, but it's a game to make the whole game, to make one big game. And what I mean by that is that DLC add-ons, yes, you get trophies, but they're DLC trophies. They don't count towards the big game. When you get games like this, Telltale's, and when you get episodic games, when you download those add-ons, which is the next episode to the game, you just making... Say you get four episodes. That's 1/4 of a whole game, meaning that you don't even get the whole entire trophies until you get the last download game, meaning that these are not these trophies count towards the overall game itself. DLC trophies, they'll just count as what they are, DLC trophies. They don't count towards your plat. These episodes count towards your plat, meaning that this is one big game split up. That's some BS. Harmonix is not splitting up one big game. They're giving you the whole game. You just add it on DLC as it go on. And what game doesn't update, or what game company doesn't update their games nowadays anyway? So don't try to act like this is the same thing as Hitman when it's not.
No, no, I'm talking about the way I was comparing them was the fact that we got a chunk of the game. And
you're
that
not getting a chunk. You're getting the whole thing.
But I would argue, and Alex, maybe you can back me up on this a little bit. I would argue that online multiplayer for Rock Band is a key component to the game.
I would have to agree with that. I wanted to disagree with you, but I can't.
Okay, that is a key component. That's something that should have been from the start. The same way you feel like Hitman should be
a whole game
complete at the start, Rock Band should have had online multiplayer. It should have had practice mode from the start. And okay. And just no. Like, listen, I hear what you're saying, Donnie, but what I'm saying is they're the way they're releasing their games are similar. And you Alex, you want to weigh in here?
You know, no. For Rock Band, I think that it is crucial to have online multiplayer, but I don't know. As long as it comes at some point, that's what's important. You would hope that they would have it in there from the start. But really, I mean, couch co-op and local co-op is what you really want out of that game. I don't want to be playing with three random people online.
Hey, this is the same thing that happened with Grand Theft 5. Yes, it was promised to us at the start of the game, but yet we didn't get it, and that did not make a whole... That did not make
less of a game. You're talking about Heist.
No, yeah, Heist. That did not make the game less of being a whole game. That just an extra component that could have been added on anytime, really. And that's what this is. Multiplayer is a component that could be added into any game at any time, really. Multiplayer is a fan favorite for a lot of these games, but that's all it is. Fan favorite. Favoritism, or whatever you want to call it. But it can be added in later on. That don't make the game less of a whole game.
Okay. I don't want to keep going around and around with you, Donnie, but to me, it's there. I understand what you're saying, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I was just trying to point out the fact that the way Square Enix and the way Harmonix are releasing their games are very similar. You have a point in saying that Hitman should have been a complete game, and you're right. And that they have Square Enix's money, and that they should have been able to do this from the start, and that's right. And just, you know, off the top of my head, I'm thinking that maybe the game wasn't complete, and Square Enix wanted to get it out there, so that's why they decided to do it, you know, episodically, like the way they're doing it. I can't confirm that, but that's what I would think. But in the case of Harmonix, you know, they're an independent studio. They don't have a big company backing them up financially, so yeah, they had to do what they had to do. And yes, they're releasing very similar, but they're also coming from two different backgrounds.
Veering off this, but the statement that you made is that the game was probably released episodically later on due to the fact that they probably wasn't finished. And I came across No Man's Sky recently. I want to say like a day or so. and that kind of hit my head. That came across my mind for a great excuse that gamers will most definitely fall for is that reason being why a lot of these games may be episodic. Not excluding Telltale, they started out doing it like this. But hey, that still can be the option that. This is such big of a game that just release it episodically while we work on the next episode. But No Man's Sky, what did it say? You can play the game for what amount of time and not come across anybody?
You could play it for a long time and not run across anybody you know.
Yeah, they gave us a specific time frame.
Yeah, I don't remember the time frame, but I do remember hearing something about that. Be careful, this is the game I'm anticipating.
Oh, no, no, to me, that is a big load of bullcrap. I refuse to believe any game is that big to where you can play it and roam around and not come across anybody.
Well, no, because they didn't say anybody. They said somebody you know. It would be incredibly hard to it would be incredibly hard for, like, me and you. Let's say you and I are playing No Man's Sky, and you're like, hey, I'm on planet Babelville Prime. It would be really hard for me, where I am at in the universe, to find Babelville Prime and fly over there and explore it with you. That's what they're saying, because every time you boot on, every time No Man's Sky boots, it regenerates the atmosphere. It regenerates the universe that you are in. That's why it's constantly different, constantly evolving.
Oh, that's some BS, because I'm quite sure there could be some coordinates that wherever you land, you're able to transmit those coordinates to a friend or somebody you just happen to come across on the interwebs.
Well, there are planets that when you find them first, you get to name it, and that planet will forever be called that. So if some other gamer happens to roam across that planet, it will be called Babelville Prime forever.
But still, whether they rename it, the coordinates would still be the same. So I still say that's some BS on whatever. I forget the game developers. That's some BS on them saying, like, hey, let's just say this so they don't know that we're not finished and won't be finished with it no time soon.
What they're saying, Donnie, is that the universe is ever evolving. So, like, okay,
I get what they're saying.
Okay, you have a certain way you drive to work every day. Like, you know at this corner you make a right and then you're going to get on the highway. What they're saying is the next time you go to the game, instead of making a right to get on the highway, you may have to go straight or you may have to make a left to get to that highway. That's what they're saying. That's stupid, in my opinion. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that's what they mean by ever evolving, is that the path to go from one planet to the next time you load in the game, is not going to be the same. There's going to be a different path. So the chances of you get, I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is that's what they mean by you could play for however long and never run into anybody, because you might be on a different path than somebody else's.
That's why I said that popped in my head when I came across No Man's Skies, and you just, in the statement that you just made, let's just make up this comment, and gamers, they will believe it because we're a game company and they're stupid gamers. it's just a theory of mine. Just a theory. It's just a theory, gamers and people who call my babble. It's just a theory. Just like all my
technically, you're the only one that calls it babble, Dodd.
Oh, no. We're going to make it trend.
Yes. But I'm just saying.
For those of you who are Walking Dead fans, Michonne Episode 3 comes out today. Well, as we're recording. Michonne? I thought it was Michonne. My bad. it comes out today, which is yesterday. As I'm trying to break the fourth wall, maybe. And then also, if none of you have heard on the interwebs, season 3 of The Walking Dead has been confirmed. I believe it's coming out later this year. And
some breaking news right there.
I saw that yesterday. You didn't see that?
No, that news has been out for a while.
Oh man, no.
I'm drawing a blank. Help me out here. Clementine will be returning.
Of course, you just cannot make a season 3 and not explain what the heck happened to Clementine. She is the star of part 2.
I didn't play episode 2, so don't spoil it for me.
So you don't want to know about the big exciting ending?
Say again?
You don't want to know about the big exciting ending?
No. And in response to Donnie saying, "Oh, she's in the trailer." Well, Lee was in the trailer for the first one, so
yeah, he's the star of the first one.
but that doesn't mean he was the star of episode 2.
Okay. I'm just saying that you... Maestro.
Well, I seem to be the maestro at this point.
Yeah, you're maestro at this point. We can either hit the last topic or we can move on.
It's your choice there, maestro.
I don't care. I just threw it in there because I couldn't find anything.
Okay, well, let's skip that because I don't want to be a dead horse about that.
All right, then let's skip it.
All right, go ahead, go.
Go, where am I going?
You're going to the big reveal. That's where you're going.
This isn't me. This is you.
All right. This is the moment all whores have been waiting for.
Okay. I was just wondering never mind. I was going to make a joke there, but I couldn't come up with one.
He was trying to come up with something witty, and it left him.
Hi, Horace. This is the moment you guys have all been waiting for, the reason I told you to tune into this episode. Coming from an unnamed but very reliable source, Proven Gamer has landed an exclusive announcement that no one in the world has even heard or seen or even written about this. This is the first time, and Proven Gamer is happy to be breaking this news. It is a reveal for a game that everyone on Trophy Horse loves. The game will have multiplayer.
Crash Bandicoot with multiplayer. You heard it here first. What?
A game that is promising two single-player DLC campaign add-ons.
Ooh, love me some single-player DLC.
A game that is going to be launching in 2018.
I can wait.
You guys have any guesses of what game this is?
You already heard.
Even though I know you guys know what game it is already.
No, what could it be?
The Last of Us 2 has officially been confirmed.
Get out of town. What? You got any info on it?
The info that I have is that it will be launching in 2018. Like I said, it will have multiplayer, two single player campaigns. Think of like the Left Behind, that kind of DLC. You can have two of those.
Okay, that's good.
The game will be launching on two different platforms, the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation VR.
Okay. Are these the same games?
The games are similar, but they are two separate games.
Okay.
They're not the same, and most importantly, Joel and Ellie are returning to the game. But it's not confirmed that they are the main characters or not. The official announcements will be coming at E3 this year. So stay tuned to E3 and Proving Gamer for all the news. But guys, Last of Us 2 confirmed. What do you guys think about that?
Sweet. I'm ready for it.
I mean, look. So when Tricky said that we were all big fans of this game, he was not lying because we all really, really like the original Last of Us. Even though I will buy it. I will say that Naughty Dog, generally, whatever they put out, I will buy. Because they are the best game studio in making games these days. I've said it for years. I'll say it again. As soon as The Last of Us, you know, came to E3, I wrote an article saying Last of Us, I think the final E3 before its big release, I said The Last of Us will be game of show. Hands down, bar none. Game of the Year honors, a fantastic game, one of the best games I've ever played. So I will most definitely be looking into The Last of Us 2. I will buy it. I want to play it. I want to see how things turn out. I want to see, I don't know, even if Ellie and Joel still aren't the main characters, I will be excited because Naughty Dog is so good with its characters. They make you fall in love with them. They make you interested in them. You will come, if you have to meet two new characters, four new characters, three new characters, you're going to really, really like them because they do characters really well. So even if Joel and Ellie aren't the main characters, there's a reason to play because you'll get to know some new characters very well.
Well, it's like I said when we talked about this a while ago, was I was perfectly fine with The Last of Us ending the way it ended and going, boom, one and done, this is how the game ends. But if they were to do a sequel, you could do it and like not include Joe and Ellie, you know, or have them as like, or have them as like, you know, NPCs that are, you know, that are in the story, but you're in a different, I won't say timeline, but different like region or something. I'm interested because there is so much more to that universe that can be done. So I'm interested to see where we go.
Well, let me just take back what I said. What I just said. I said I'm not that excited. I am excited. I am more curious than excited, though. because we know how. Okay. Naughty Dog doesn't have a history of this, but when games end, when games are as good and end as good as Last of Us did, a sequel just as good is hard to pull off. Now, again, Naughty Dog doesn't have a history of this, but
I'm not hating on them, but
I'm just saying the history of the sequels being good is not uncommon in the gaming world. Now, kind of like what Gio said, a Last of Us sequel, as far as different scenery, now that it's confirmed from the reliable source that it's going to be a sequel, I am going to stay true to, and I hope he listened to this, or she, or they, listened to this, and says, comment on us saying that, well, they're not going to do that, because that's going to give it away. But, let me just say this, I'm going to stick true to our prediction, to what we already stated, that if they do come out with a sequel to The Last of Us, that's the sequel. Yes, Joel and Ellie are going to be the main characters. Ellie's going to find out that Joel lied. She's going to go on her teenage temper tantrum and go out and do something highly dumb, even though she knows it's going to get her killed. And Joel is going to come back. I'm sorry. I feel that you couldn't handle the truth at the time. And
you can't handle the truth.
She's going to forgive him. But in that wake of him, of her forgiving him, it'd have been too late. She already got Joel killed.
Oh, Donnie going out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out. You guys want to go out on a limb with me?
Let's go limb walking.
Limb walking. All right. So, more information at E3. Last of Us 2 will close Sony's press conference. There, I've said it.
Absolutely. That's a dumb prediction. Everybody knows that.
Well, no, they know that now. I just said it officially. So I have the rights to that. You heard it here first. Last of Us 2 closes E3. Boom. Or Sony E3. Boom.
Yes, I have the rights.
So when we do our E3 predictions later,
that's no one else can claim that.
Can one of my predictions be Last of Us 2 gets announced at E3?
No. Yes, because I said it'll close E3. So there you can have that one.
That's cheating. That'll be announcement chomping.
Okay. So Tricky can't have that, but can I have it close as E3? Or can I?
Oh yes.
See,
yes.
Ha!
That's not fair.
Yes, because that trophy has not been poked yet.
That trophy has not been popped yet.
The trophy has been popped about the announcement being late. That's a trophy right there. By you all choosing that, you chumping that trophy, getting it again.
All right, last bit of news, and then I'm going to turn the show back over to Yield. Alex, I have some sad news for you.
What's that?
I was speaking to Naughty Dog, and I was pressing them about a game that you want. I asked them about Crash Bandicoot.
Well, this isn't going to turn out in my favor.
They said that as much as they want to make a game, a Crash Bandicoot game, that they still do not own the rights to it. Universal still owns the rights to Crash Bandicoot. And even when they were making the Crash Bandicoot games back then, Universal owned the rights to them. So they have confirmed to me that Naughty Dog is not making another Crash Bandicoot game right now.
So Sony never owned the rights at all?
So Naughty Dog isn't making it. But that doesn't mean that somebody else isn't making it.
Well, they can't confirm whether or not somebody else is making it. Well,
that's what I'm saying.
But they can confirm that Naughty Dog is not making a Crash Bandicoot game at this point.
You know, this whole rights thing, to me, that's like it's so freaking stupid and petty. Like, why would you not allow somebody, I'm not saying give them the rights, but give them the okay to develop? Why hold on to the rights?
If you left the show right now, You're saying that I should give you the rights to use the Trophy Horse name and make another podcast?
No.
So you can go make the Trophy Horse experience?
There you go.
No, but I'm just saying. I'm not. Didn't I just hear me? You just overheard and trying to make an argument.
I'm not trying to make an argument. You're saying you understand why.
No, I didn't.
They wouldn't give the rights to make the game.
I didn't say give them the rights. I said give them the okay.
Okay.
You keep the rights like you've been having. You gave them the okay to make it all them years ago. You still had the rights. Give them the okay, again.
So I should give you the okay to go make the Trophy Horse experience?
Sure. Because we're both going to benefit from it. Especially, and you know what? To add more to that, to add, I guess you could say morals or friendship into this. I don't know the whole friendship between Naughty Dog and Universal, but you and me know each other. So by you giving me the okay to make the spinoff, you know it's going to benefit you, and you know that I wouldn't go behind your back to do some BS stuff, some shiesty stuff over Trophy Horde. So again, stop being selfish, because you know it's going to benefit you, Universal, to make that money, and give them the okay to reboot or come up with the next installment of Crash. And that goes for everybody who got rights out there. Stop being freaking selfish with your stuff. And I'm not saying give the rights. I'm saying give the okay to develop whatever.
Give them permission to do it.
Yeah, give them permission to do this, because it's not going to hurt you in the long run.
I think what it really comes down to is Universal is probably, like, the companies want to make a Crash Bandicoot game, but Universal must be charging too much to license the rights.
And that's still on the lines of being selfish.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying. I think that's what it really is.
Yeah, stop being freaking unreasonable and selfish, and just come on, man. Y'all, I can't stand people. This is why I hate people.
All right.
And people in general. So people will be like, why are you talking about people? Why you hate me? Why I don't hate you. I just hate people in general.
All right. Let's wrap this up there, Yield.
Time for some housekeeping.
Oh, what about the topic?
What topic?
It's a pretty decent topic to talk about.
The topic of the week? All right, Donnie, yes. introduce the topic of the week. I missed that. All right. I'm sorry.
I came across, I was playing Sleeping Dogs, the definitive edition, and it has in-game accessories, and some like, I believe Uncharted has in-game accessories that gives you bonus on something or some type of perk. I can't remember.
Oh, but, you mean like extra health or extra amount health, percentage damage, kind of perk?
Yeah, doesn't Uncharted has that?
I think maybe to a small extent in multiplayer, maybe.
In multiplayer, that's what I mean. But I believe in Uncharted 2. But anyway, Sleeping Dogs do. They have in-game accessories. And my question to you guys, because I came across a predicament that I don't like. Are in-game accessories cool? You know, nice, just okay? Just okay. Because what I mean by that is that, hold on, because, you know, a lot of this stuff be like a cap or some shoes, or in most cases when you have a certain outfit, the whole entire outfit that matches, it gives you the bigger perk or the maximum perk accessories percentage. And that accessory, that particular costume sucks, but it gives you the best out of the all perks. And that's what my predicament is. I'm right now in Sleeping Dogs. I got to max out my triad count to the max. And my triad perks to the max. But in order to get like the bonus accessories, the bonus points for triad missions, is that I gotta wear an old school triad costume, and it gives you 15% extra triad points. But I don't like the costume. It's not something I will wear just for fun in a video game either. So that's why I ask. Does in-game accessories, are they cool or they kind of sucky?
I'm going to step up just because I'm probably going to have to go throw up in a second. I am one of those people who really does not care what the character is wearing or what they're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, to me, I mean, it's cool that I can style, like, my Division character. You know, you can wear certain boots or certain jackets or, you know, certain hats and stuff like that, and they do nothing to boost up your perks.
Cool.
So right now, like, I started out the game, I was dressed in National Guard gear. And as I was playing the game more and more, I actually got a short bows hat and jacket, and the short bows are the Division's equivalent of what the Rangers are. So now I'm running around New York City in a backwards. I'm wearing a backwards short bows hat and a short bows windbreaker as I'm running around New York City. Okay. And I did that just for, you know, to be funny. But if I never switched over from the National Guard outfit, I wouldn't care.
Okay, but I'm quite sure. Okay, Saints Row 3 and 4. You get to customize your character. Bonuses. Right. If you wear certain colors, of course, both games are games right. affiliated. So if you wear the colors, you get bonus, whatever. But ask that out. In customizations of games to where you are allowed to customize them, at least one per game session or one per playthrough, at least that, we all like to customize that person to our liking, that whether the face look like us as much as possible, or whether we like to see that particular person in this particular type of clothes.
Yeah, but see, see, when it comes to accessorizing my characters, like, even back in old school Final Fantasy days, like, I want to play the character that the developer had in their mind. Like, Final Fantasy, you know, certain games, once you get a certain character, you can rename that character. And while that's cool that, you know, you can rename the character, I never renamed my characters because I want to play the character that they designed. And I feel like if we step out of that situation, then, you know, we can cater and personalize the game to us, but then I'm not playing what the developer wanted to be. Like, Cid. Cid is a reoccurring character in Final Fantasy. You can change Cid's name in almost every Final Fantasy game, but then you lose that, like, that little trinket of saying, oh, this is a nod to all the Final Fantasy games that have come out. Like, Cid is in every game, and he's the only recurring character.
Okay, well, on
let me finish real quick. Like, in the case of the God of War, where you beat the game, and then you can dress Kratos up in a different outfit, and then he can either give you unlimited mana, or unlimited health, or unlimited this.
Ooh, mana? Who used that term? Ooh, you showed some anime in you right there.
Well, mana is actually a Final Fantasy term there, Dottie.
Still anime.
It's coming from a Japanese, so. But, you know, see, I look at those characters as like, okay, you beat our game, go have some fun.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But when it comes to the main game, first way through, the same way Alex did with Until Dawn, like, I just want to play the game. I don't want to have to be looking at the guide. You know, I just want to have a good time.
Well, I think that's safe to say for all of us when we say the first playthrough is the developer's choice.
But as far as, like, you know, personalizing my character and whatnot, it's cool, but if it was never in a video game, I wouldn't care.
What about personalizing your car in Rocket League?
It's the same thing.
Jolly Roger on the flag on the back of your car.
That's the exact same thing.
Well, in Rocket League, I run around with the Team Fat flag, so.
So you have customized. Okay.
No, I'm not saying I don't customize. I'm saying if it wasn't there, I would not care. Because to me, customizing the character is not that big of a deal. In the case of, like, The Division, where the character, I'm supposed to be that character because it's a role-playing game, I kind of see it, and, like, I kind of happy that I could run around with like a Rangers, pseudo Rangers jacket on. But it's, if it wasn't there, it would not matter to me.
Yeah, but I mean, like, okay. In Rocket League, if you couldn't customize your own car, then everyone looks the same. And that's boring.
Well, then Psyonix should have developed, you know, 5 cars that look differently.
So you get a random car each time?
Man.
Okay. I'd be fine with that. Because ultimately, the car itself, having this car to that car doesn't change anything.
No, but it gives it some
flair. In the case of, like, Resogun, the 3 planes, they act 3 different ways. All the cars in Rocket League play exactly the same. It's just, oh, well, this one has a cool paint style. That one has a cool flag.
All right. Now, in that case, I mean, that particular game is, I would say, noticeably different. Because you're playing a team-based game. And with on a team, you're all supposed to look alike anyway so you can know who on teams. Of course, if you're playing online and you got mics, you can barely know, identify folks. And also, does your name pop up on the top of your guy's car or something? No. I don't know about Rocket League, but on some games, either you can't kill your own teammate, so that's how you know it's your teammate, or the name pops up, it's let you know that DTN is controlling that character, so don't hit him. But if you're playing a team-based game, well, yes, we all should be wearing the same colors so we can know each other from the other team. But I do hear Tricky. Yeah, I can agree. If it never appears in the game, it's cool with me because it's not really that big of a deal. But when the customizations are there, you know, we all, I don't care whether you're a Tricky or whether you're a me, Alex, Yale, you're going to be drawn to the customization mechanics. Because we all would like that character to somewhat of our liking. Whether you want to do it to the minimum Tricky, you still want to customize it to something.
Yeah, but
we
all don't want to spend 30 minutes bedazzling Hannah Montana's left butt cheek.
Here's the important thing.
I spent 30 minutes making my Last of Us chick. I mean, not Last of Us, my Saints Row chick completely naked.
All right, here's the important thing. Here's what you got to do for a lot of things.
Without the blurs.
The important thing and what developers need to do is make sure the customization, like for something like Rocket League, it's perfect. It doesn't take very much time at all. It takes a few minutes to do. And it can give you a car you really like, a design you really like, and set yourself apart from a lot of other people. It can make it unique. Just make sure if you design anything, like I don't want to go design a little big planet level because it takes forever. If you're going to give some customization options, make sure that it's quick. Because if it's like just page after page after page, you're going to lose my interest. So make it as easy as you can and just make it quick as you can.
Well, no, hold on. That's still to your likings, though. I say if there are customizations to it, the more details, the better. I'm not saying take all your time to customize it to that specific detail. Like, hey, I want that eyebrow hair to be that fine. You know, I'm not saying do all that, but if the customization tools are there, the more detail you can be with it, the better. Because even with your car, let's just say your Bebop car you made for Rocket League. Now, if you can make that hair look a little bit more real, even with that Bebop colored hair of the Mohawk, that would have been that much more better on that car to see it like that. Or if you can make the wheels on our car look a little bit more real, or the paint of the car, just fine tune it just a little bit more. Hey, you can actually write and customize the actual letters in that particular paint job or that particular graffiti that you put on the car. It makes it that much more better. I'm not saying 30 minutes to bedazzle, but I'm just saying if.
But you will take 30 minutes to bedazzle if you need to.
I want it to. Because if all the tools are there that I want to make and that I have in my head that I want to make it and they allow me to make it with the tools that they have because they're so defined in their – they're so defined and detailed in their tool, the customizing tools, then I'm going to take 30 minutes to bedazzle If I want to get that stitch that right, and if they allow me to stitch the pants the way I want to stitch them, and I want the stitches that right because they allow me to, hey, I'm going to utilize that because I got a vision in my head that I want these bedazzled pants to be stitched this way or that way. I say the more details it is to the customizing tools, the better. Just like the more details in your overall game, the better. I'm not just saying you don't have to spend the whole entire 30 minutes on the customization just because it's there.
So here's what I want to say. Speaking of tools, there's less than 30 seconds in my Ratchet & Clank download. Let's prep these tools of destruction and get this party started.
Yes.
No, you know what? You don't need to use everything, Donnie, but if you're thrown like a laundry list of options for something, chances are you're going to start out, you're going to pick one thing for every category, and then you're just going to kind of zip through the rest. Like, at that point, it's almost pointless.
It's just that you didn't feel like doing it at that time. Maybe later on, you want to come back and customize it later after you beat the game, or after you want to just roam through and have some fun with the game afterwards. Still,
I gotta say one thing. Too much. I kind of feel Alex on the thing. Too much customization. Like it could take out the part. Like if I gotta spend 45 minutes making my character before I can actually start playing the game.
Okay, that's different.
That's aggravating. Sometimes you just want to jump into a game. You know, like Fallout 4. You know, you play a part of the game, and then all of a sudden you look in the mirror. And then you're starting to customize your character. And there's so many options that you can't change later that, like, you kind of feel compelled to stand there for 45 minutes and update your character.
Okay, well,
that to me, is extremely frustrating.
Most games that have it like that, where you have to customize the character in order to start the game, usually have a random button. You can just click and it'll randomly customize it for you or leave it as is. Because what's the name is like that?
But at that point, at the point where you're hitting the random, then what's the point of putting the customization in there? It's the same thing. It's the same thing with the Phantom Pain. The Phantom Pain, you got the surgery, and
yes,
you had to customize your character.
It's there, just for like I just said, you know, if you're going to have it there, you know, I'm not saying put those very defined details there, but I'm just saying if the very details are defined details are there, then the better. But again, it's just like the Saints Row, you had to customize your character in order to start the game. But it had a random there. Just click select, and you got that person right there as is. Later on, you're always welcome to come back and do all that stuff later on. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, and you're right, if that's kind of sucky that you have to create a character, customize the character to actually start, but again, it's there for your likings, or it's there for your choosing later on in the game.
Yeah,
housekeeping.
Yes, because I'm assuming we're customizing this housekeeping since you're doing it. Yeah.
ProvenGamer.com is looking for writers, podcasters, video editors, news reporters, article writers, and YouTubers. If you're interested in any of those or qualify for any of those, go to ProvenGamer.com, find the Help Wanted tab, click on it, and Tricky will get back with you as soon as possible once he either gets over or dies from the Pax Plague.
Yes.
If you're looking to contact us, you can contact us the site at Proven Gamer, the show at Trophy Horrors. You can email us at provengamer.com. You can go on the website or our Facebook page, hit the SpeakPipe app, and leave us a message. Or you can call the phone number, which is 330-PROVEN9, 330-776-8369. This is a lot.
Welcome to my world.
This is why I said you should just record it and then like leave it in every so many episodes.
And I wanted to do that, but Donnie said no.
Ah, okay. it is funnier. All right. While you're browsing the websites, the Facebook page, or your podcast provider of preference, Check out our other podcasts, PG Spoilers, Remember the Loot, or Whatever Talk. They can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, the podcast app, or Google Play. And I'm sure you've heard us every so often mention about our PlayStation 4 communities. We have the Proven Gamer PlayStation 4 community page. We have the Trophy Whores community page known as T-Dub's Brothel. And I have one known as Platinum Guild for those that just want to post their platinums or ask for help.
Hey, I got a question
in getting
about
platinums.
That. When you post in that, any of them.
Which one? Mine?
Any of them. Does your time say post it says, let's just say something.
The time,
yeah, that's
the time stamp's way off.
Because I make a post and I'm gonna be like 17.
No,
yes,
eight minutes ago.
I usually get into two digits of when I post it. Okay,
yeah, no, all right, I thought the time stamp's way off. So, no, it's I don't
know
what
else
why it's like that.
I get a notification in my on my station that says a new post has been made, and that's like. It was by myself, and that's
and it was by yourself.
The time step is say 17 minutes. I get one saying that I posted one like 5 to 10 minutes after I've been posted it. Okay, I thought that was
just me. That is slightly annoying. Nope. I think it's everybody. And then we'll move on to our sponsors. We are looking for better podcasting equipment to bring you, the fans, a better podcasting experience. So if you go to GoFundMe.com/ProvenGamer. We got some trophy-themed donation prize packs where you can get Tricky whenever he's healthy to platinum a decent game, and Donnie will sing you a song. Alex, how about those extra lives?
He's in the Ratchet & Clank universe right now. So am I, by the way.
Stop stuffing your mouth. You know there's no extra lives in Ratchet & Clank, right? When you die, you die.
Hey, Don. Well, you know what? Maybe we'll come back. Hey, Donnie. Well, you didn't let me finish, but okay.
That was a mighty fine Amazon.
That was a mighty fine Amazon. Yes, go to provengamer.com, click on the Amazon link, and continue your shopping as normal. It doesn't cost you anything, and it helps out the website tremendously. Alex, how about those extra lives?
Those extra lives, they come in handy for when you're going through a really difficult time. So Extra Life is a wonderful charity event that was kind of spearheaded by our good friend of the show, Doc Adams. And it's something that's grown every year, so we're all very proud of it, and we're all very happy to be able to tell you about it and be involved in it. Essentially, it's a 24-hour gaming marathon. This year, it will be 25 hours, so get ready for even more video game playing. Even more awesomeness. And it's going to happen on November 5th this year. And what you do is you sign up on the website. And Tricky, what is that website? Because I always forget. Is it extra-life.org?
Extra-life.org.
Okay. You got to put the hyphen in there. That's important. So you sign up either to play on a team, start your own team, or play up by yourself. And you pick a Children's Miracle Network hospital to represent. You know, one, preferably in your city. But after that, you kind of just do your thing. You get donations. You collect donations from people, sponsorships, really. $1 an hour, $2 an hour, $20 for the entire day. Really, whatever people are comfortable donating. And you go from there. You play games for 25 hours, and all the money that you have collected, all the donations will go 100%. 100% of the donations will go to the hospital, the children's hospital that you chose to represent. So, I mean, you really can't say any better than it's an awesome way it's an easy way to do something fantastic and just really great for other people. You get to play games, and the hospital that you represent gets much needed money to help some sick kids get through some really terrible stuff, some brave sick kids. So it's just a fantastic way to do something good without really, to be honest, a whole lot of effort on your part. So.
And on to the shout outs. I will go first so that way I can be done. I would like to give a shout out to our. Why are you typing me a message in the middle of shout outs? It's not like I do that or anything.
That is so staying in the show, by the way.
That's fine, because that's what I do. I would like to give a shout-out to our very reliable and unnamed source. Thank you for that little Easter egg. I would also like to give a shout-out to Rat Loop Asia for releasing Rocket Birds 2. It's out today. As you're listening to the show, it was out yesterday.
I was actually surprised you didn't mention that during the show.
On the PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita, I kind of forgot, so that's why I'm doing it in my shout-out. So I will probably be picking that up this weekend because Rocket Birds is awesome. It has an awesome soundtrack, and if you all don't buy it, then it's your loss, my gain. A shout-out to Tricky, the Goddess, and anybody else that helped cover PAX for Proven Gamer. A shout-out to you guys for recording this week. Shout-out to Homer Gets Duffed because he asked for one. Shout-out to the fans for spreading the whoredom that is Trophy Whores. And I'm done. Whoever's next, somebody go. I don't care. It's a gamble.
I'd like to give a shout-out to my Horseman Brothers for carrying me through the show. I want to give a shout-out to everybody.
Gesundheit.
I want to give a shout-out to my belly who's trying to throw up right now. I want to give a shout-out to everyone that was at PAX, including the stack-up guys, Shanghai Six, Billy Nichols, also known as Quicksilver. You guys know him. And various other people that I can't remember their names right now because I'm sorry my head is so foggy.
You'll get them next week.
Huge, huge, huge shout-out to the unnamed source that talked to the Proven Gamer representative to give us the news on The Last of Us 2. I appreciate that they gave us the opportunity to break this news. Huge shout-out to the Goddess who was walking the show floor and working her butt off. Huge shout-out to Ray from the New York Snark Exchange who sat in an interview with me with Stu Grubbs from Infinicene. Go check out that product. That product is going to change the way you stream. It's going to make the future Trophy Whores episodes, when we do them live, so much easier to do. And I won't sit here for 3 hours trying to rack my brain and have it fall apart at the end. Go check that out. We have a video and an interview going up on our YouTube page, and it was going to be going live on provinggamer.com. Also, give a shout out to Sweet Mama D, and I have one more announcement to make as far as the website goes. If you have been following the live videos that I've been doing from PAX, I kind of announced this already Sunday night, but the forums are coming back to provinggamer.com.
Yay!
They are officially in the works. I am currently trying to organize them, get them all together. They will be launching on May 1st.
Oh, I know what I'm posting already.
With that being said, you can actually go to provinggamer.com right now, and on the right side of the page, you can reserve your forum name on the site. No Proven Gamer employee has to do that because they already have accounts.
Yeah.
The way I set up the forums is that you can actually sign up, you can sign into provinggamer.com and log into the forums, and if you are active on the forums and whatnot, when it comes time that you actually want to work for provinggamer.com, all I have to do is go in and click one button, and you are an official Proven Gamer employee without having to set up your account or anything.
Smooth. Oh, so, look at you forward thinking.
Yes. So everybody has their all Proven Gamer employees have their accounts already, so don't try to steal our names.
Yeah, but I don't want to see any Sondasaurus Blex out there.
Well, actually, your name on
or Tun Twist
right now is your name on the forums right now is Raze Havoc there.
Oh house. Really? Is it now?
Yes.
I don't want to see any Blaze Havoc out there.
You'll have to edit that. That's so SG.
Yeah, but it's also OG.
Did you hear what I did there?
Yes, but it's really OG, not SG. But yeah, huge shout out to everybody involved. I know I'm forgetting a lot of people. Huge shout out to every single person, every listener. It is because of the awesomeness that you guys are that, and you know, our podcast downloads every week, that makes this show keep going.
It has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that we have Trophy and Whores in our name. Absolutely nothing.
It is because we constantly try to fire Donnie.
You're fired.
All right, so that is it for me. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm actually going to go sit on my couch and listen to the rest of the show and play Ratchet and Clank.
I guess I'll go next.
Donnie.
I'm going to give a shout-out to the fans. You know, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening for this long, making it to the end to hear our shout-outs to you. I want to give a shout-out to not just the Trophy Whores crew, but to Tricky or whoever else is editing this episode, because I don't want to edit this one. And but also, I want to say my computer is back up and running. Sluggish, but it's running. So whatever talk will be back soon. Happy about that with our 50th episode milestone. I want to give a shout out to Death Battle. Also, you guys need to get up on Death Battle and see if we can partner up with them somehow with something. I don't know. But speaking of the whole Ratchet and Clank theme that's been going on for like the last few episodes, there's more with Death Battle with Ratchet and Clank, and they're battling to the death with Jack and Dexter. So that'll be a pretty decent battle right there. I do believe with all their arsenal up there, Ratchet and Clank will take that battle. And I want to give a shout out to the family. Thanks for being patient with me. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for being you guys. It's closing it.
Alex.
So I want to give a shout out to the fans, as we all do, because without you guys, Trophy Whores just isn't Trophy Whores, and we wouldn't really be enthusiastic about talking to each other for nothing. So we appreciate you guys very much. Give a shout out to Insomniac Games, because the new Ratchet & Clank is super fucking pretty. It looks great. I remember when Ratchet & Clank Tools of Destruction came out on PS3, and it's like, finally we have Pixar-quality graphics in a video game. And, well, they've made another huge jump into making Ratchet & Clank look even prettier, which I didn't know was possible. Ooh, but the game looks great. So Insomniac Games...
shout out DLC.
Insomniac Games definitely puts a lot into this game. And I, as a gamer, appreciate it. Well, a gamer and a Ratchet & Clank fan, aficionado. I definitely appreciate it. Give a shout out to you guys, as well as especially Tricky and the Goddess for braving PAX East, getting the PAX Plague, and still returning home to do the show. And lastly, give a shout out to my girlfriend Christina. Big news, I had mentioned before that we were building a house. Well, we went out to the lot yesterday and they've actually broken ground. Yield saw a picture, he actually commented on it. So I've actually put down some concrete, dug up some dirt, so it's actually officially underway now. So here comes the time where I have to go out there every day just to make sure that people aren't fucking shit up.
Go get him, general contractor.
Oh, well, thank you. But yeah, so a shout out to my love, Christina. I love you, sweetheart. And
work harder. Drive them nails all the way home.
Thank you, for Christina, for taking this journey with me and wanting to build a home and start a life with me.
Okay, my shout out DLC. I'm going to give a shout out to Sanzaru Games for Sly Cooper 4, all because of all not only did they like make nod to Ratchet and Clank, but they've also made like little nods to movies here and there, and that's really cool.
Yeah, Sanzaru Games, that I still think Sly 4 was the best one, even though it was not developed by Sucker Punch.
At first, I wasn't liking the new art style, but the more I played it, the more I'm like, you know what? I'm really digging this game. It grew on me. So, Okay, 2 hours, 10 minutes, done. Stop.
I was gonna wonder when that peace out was coming in.
Peace out. Check it. You done made it to another one.
Replay.
Go download another one.
Continue your whoredom.
Or you can go and do a tricky man and
chop it.
However you do it. Just to forget the ray and leave a comment. And thanks for getting listen to the show. Now it's time for me to go. Peace out to another episode.